Right, let's start again. Hey, Dan, how was your croissant?
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Urchin Studios podcast.
Dan's just eating a croissant, so yeah. There might be a bit of residual croissant
ASMR.
We were talking about ASMR. I really just discovered this. I was on.
Okay, boomer.
Okay, boomer. Right, so there's an actual scientific.
Welcome to the Urchin Studios podcast.
I was on Spotify and there was an ASMR thing and I absolutely hate it. It's horrible because I know that it really divides crowds. Some people really like it and they put it on when they go to sleep.
Yeah.
And what's then the, some people just it
makes,
really...
It makes your neck itchy.
Oh, it's just disgusting.
What were you sampling?
It was just a girl just talking to you like...
Oh, right.
It was...
Let's talk about...
I didn't know what she was saying, and I guess that's the point. It doesn't have to be. It's not about the material, so to speak. It's the manner in which it's being.
But it's
deployed.
Also Charlie's about choking up on the mic like this. And this is going to make dude, it, this is going to make editing this.
Yeah,
not going to throw off. The thingy.
It's not my thing. Do you like it, Dan?
No. No, well, I don't dislike it actually. It's I know it's supposed to be kind of like Marmite, but you know,
yeah.
At the end of the day, I'm a Vegemite guy, so
exactly.
So like, I'm fairly indifferent. But yeah, ASMR does nothing for me at all. Like, I don't really react to it in any positive or negative way. It's just sort of.
I think maybe because I don't like it because. I spend a lot of my time on my productions removing mouth sounds from the vocal.
Right.
I'm very sensitive to what Dan and I used to call the mayonnaise.
The mayonnaise.
And it was because when we were working with Leanne LeHavis, she, I don't even know if there was mayonnaise in the sandwich.
There was definitely mayonnaise in the sandwich.
She had a sandwich and then did a great vocal, but there was a lot of residual sandwich.
On
the mic, the sound of like
the
you
general,
can really hear.
Yeah. When you're as good a singer as Leanne LeHavis, you can pretty much break whatever rules you want, because you're still going to sound amazing. But for mere mortals, eating and then not even so much as kind of, you know, just going straight into the booth, you know, without kind of breaking step and doing a vocal is traditionally not a good idea.
Yeah, there are rules before vocals, right? Mm. No milk, chocolate. Mayonnaise, we'll put that in there.
Yeah. It's a dairy product.
Stay hydrated.
But yeah, I mean, well, I honestly don't think that like a cup of tea is a big deal. You know, I think a cup of tea, a nice proper brew.
Yeah.
For Yorkshire.
Yeah.
And we've recently converted ourselves to Yorkshire here at Urchin Studios. It's more expensive, but we like to look after the clients.
That's it.
But yeah, like, yeah, hot beverage is generally quite good for a vocal.
I mean, yeah, but
mouth noises.
Mouth noises, yeah. So I become very, very sensitive to, and I sometimes listen to old productions that I've done, and I can hear them. I'm just like, damn, and I become so sensitive to that. And also, here's a question for you: What is the right amount of de-essing?
The right amount of de-essing is
because I don't know. Let me explain that.
Yeah.
So de-essing, for those that aren't familiar with it, when someone's singing, that's the sound
It's the sibilance.
The sibilance can become very harsh. So you remove the sibilance. But however, if you remove too much sibilance, it comes like...
It becomes the
thing. It sounds like the person has a weird sort of speech impediment where they can't say their S's.
Yeah.
And I find the problem is if you're...
Maybe that's my sound.
Maybe that's what I had. I just did a mix. I'm not going to say what. And I DS'd too hard.
Yeah.
And I only figured it out the next day.
Okay.
You know when you're just listening to something and you go, oh, these S's. Are... And then once you know, the more you notice anything during a mix, actually, the more you try and sort of weed it.
Mm.
And I weeded I weeded the S way too hard.
Yeah.
So I thought I had to re-S. Well, I didn't re-S. I just took
the S off. A lot of the times, if I'm not sure how much is too much, I generally put what I don't, you know, whether it's de-essing or some other kind of processing, I generally put on, if I'm not sure what's too much, I'll put on something that I'm definite is too much.
Too much de-essing.
Yeah, because then you, I think I mentioned this before, but like sometimes you can kind of tentatively slide up from no effect to what you think is the minimum amount.
Yeah.
And often it's not enough. Whereas I find I tend to find if I overshoot and then come back, I usually find, same with compression or an EQ or something. Yeah, I overshoot.
Like distortion is like, right, let's find the point that's ridiculous.
Yeah, let's
dial it back from there.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with distortion as well, because like you, say if it's on a vocal or something, the mix of it has to be quite finely tuned, you know. I think when we started production, we wanted a distorted vocal, we just shove it on the channel and off it went. Whereas,
yeah, how do you do it now, Dan? Is that not what you do?
Put it on the kick drum. So you get a mess distorted vocal. It's almost always something in parallel, I would say. You know, for a distortion.
Fucking wimp.
I know. Yeah. That's terrible.
I was doing a library track this week.
A library track? Is it for your sample track? Your sample pack?
We'll talk about that later. Okay. I'll be plugging that later. Mm. I haven't done much library music in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asked to do something. Mm-hmm. A friend of mine is works at a library.
Yeah.
And it's just like, you should
get on the library train.
Have a look at the brief. And I did it. And it was actually really fun.
Mm.
However,
mm.
the problem was I had to sing.
Okay, I didn't know about this. Yeah.
Well, no, I'm keeping this on the DL.
Okay, not anymore. as on the DL as you've been keeping your sample back.
Yeah. No, my sample back is definitely not on the DL. but no, it was. But yeah, I'm not a great singer. I'm an okay singer.
Yeah.
I say I can have, at best, I can have functional BVs.
Yeah.
I had to lead this track.
I've heard you lead sing before. I won't say where.
I won't say, don't say where. But basically a lot of distortion, Dan.
Yeah.
If you put a lot of distortion, not in parallel, in
series.
In its entirety.
Inline plug-in with mix control at 100%.
Yeah.
If available.
Was kind of going for a Lou Reed vibe, so just really sort it
right.
Pretty down in
and
the
then
mix.
Turn it down in the mix,
lots of slap back.
You don't
fine.
Lots of slap. Yeah, you don't need to write any decent lyrics or anything because no one can understand
Fuck
what you're
you.
Saying.
My lyrics were amazing. Do you know what it was? What's interesting about this track was that it's I won't say what the brief was, but the lyrics were solely based on what sounded good.
Okay, yeah.
So I was coming up with phrases that just felt good.
Lifting me higher.
How did you know? That's a great line.
Yeah.
I'll write that down. No, but it was sort of a kind of, you know, sort of New York kind of Lou Reed. So I just, which I do, even when I've got a writing session, writing session? I sounded American.
A writing session.
Even when I have a writing session, I'm very hot on, I don't care if a word is clever or a lyric is clever.
Mm.
If it doesn't sound like it belongs in the melody, it's off.
Yeah.
It can do one. But, in this case, for this library track, it was all just, it's got to sound good. It's got to sound right on the melody. Anyway, so I just write something down. Anyway, the next day I read them. Mm. Actually sound quite profound. I had no idea what they're about.
Okay, yeah.
They read like, they're quite profound. It's like, what?
Okay, yeah.
But like Bowie did that a lot, didn't he?
So I've heard, yeah.
He would just take phrases.
By the way, did you start the timer?
No.
Set the timer for 25 minutes?
Not 25 minutes.
We've been talking for 5 minutes.
No one wants another 25 minutes of this shit.
Okay, set the timer for 24 minutes.
Okay. Anyway, let's talk about my sample pack now. let's spend the next 20 minutes. I've done a sample pack.
This podcast is sponsored by the Matt Ingram sample pack.
Do you know what? I've actually been...
Available on Thursday.
It's not available on Thursday. It's actually... I can announce it here.
Announce it here, yeah.
It's coming out on the 19th of February, which is Monday.
Oh, it's Monday. Okay, right, yeah.
I've been teasing it on Instagram.
Yeah, and you've not had any sales yet, have you?
Definitely not. I have actually. We can say that, right?
Of course.
So it was a bit scary. I set up the website and I just needed to check it was all working.
Mm.
And I've got like a Wix website. I didn't give them a plug. Mm. Wix website. Yeah. Anyway, I thought I'd hidden the page.
We'll send you an invoice, Wix.
With the cart where you can buy it. And I got an email yesterday saying, Somebody's bought your sample pack. I was just like, what?
From your hidden shop.
Oh my God. And I actually called them and just said, just to, you know, I'm really glad that you've downloaded this. But if there's any problems, just please let
That's
me
good
know.
Customer service.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually had two downloads.
There's another one.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say I actually had two complaints, which is weird because I only had one sale.
two refunds. No, they're very happy. I spoke to them both actually.
Okay.
So yeah, but it's out on Monday and yeah. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, people are buying it before it's even been released.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to spend the next...
It's called Drums for Songs.
It's called Drums for Songs. And the idea is... Yeah, okay, for now, that's things we're talking about.
I think we may have already covered this, but yeah.
Just no, let's not. Let's not then. It's out Monday. Go and buy it.
Out Monday. Out Monday.
Plugin of the week?
Plugin of the week. I've got one, actually.
Go on, mate.
It's... The only problem is... just lately, because... So when you have... you know, in Studio A, we have Pro Tools Ultimate subscription because we're absolute ballers. You can also, I think it's part of that, or it's like £3 a month or something. You can add on a massive bundle of Avid plugins. So when I'm sort of searching for a solution for something, I tend to just hop into this bundle because it's got most stuff in it. But I keep mentioning Avid plugins, but other brands are available. But what it was, I'm actually going to list off some non-Avid versions because, not funnily enough, not everyone uses Pro Tools. But it was the Pro Sub Harmonic. And what it is, it's one of those bass enhancer plugins.
Oh, I like them.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this one.
So this was actually, I was in search of a particular problem. I wasn't in search of a particular problem. I was presented with a particular problem, okay, which was that a vocal had been recorded in... Well, it was a vocal from a writing session.
Yes.
I'd been kind of past some files. And I think it was put down as part of a writing session and there was some character on it, shall we say. And it was quite vibey. There was a little bit of saturation and it had this kind of vintagey tone. But it also was as if it had been high shelved up to about 250 hertz or something.
Oh, as much as that?
Yeah, and wow. It was sort of like when initially it was kind of like, okay, this is this sounds fine, you know, but then we kind of added in more stuff to the production, and the warmer it got, the warmer the overall tone of it, the mix sounded, the more it became apparent that this sub 250 hertz characteristic was missing. Yeah. And I think normally people use these things on bass and guitar and stuff. But it absolutely did the job.
What's it called?
It's called Avid Pro Sub Harmonic.
Do I have to pay for
that? I'm not sure, but you can also use so there's Waves do one called Max Bass, PSP one do one called Mix Bass 2.
The one I use.
There's a UA one, Precision. There's also that Voice of God from Little Labs, which is UAD.
Okay.
I'm just listing these off because I feel like there's a Brainworks one as well.
That's the one I use.
That's the UAD.
There's a Brainworks one called BX Sub-Bass.
Sub-Synth, is that it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I'm going to give them a shout out actually because that's the one I've been using and mostly on kick drums.
Yeah, right.
It's just, I like a bit of, you know, like a little bit of 50 hertz.
Yeah.
Just knocking you in the gut. But
what's interesting is it's not 50 hertz. It's not actually, it's adding lower.
What do you mean it's not 50 hertz?
Well, a lot of
I just said it was 50 hertz.
Well, you said it was 50 hertz. But a lot of these things, sometimes they are actually adding low end. They're also adding the harmonics of those low frequencies.
You can't put it in solo, this one. It's just to say that BX1 I use is a free one.
Yeah.
And I've been using it for like a couple of years. It's only because I kind of... kind of know what's going on with it. What was there was one that someone I bought Chad Blake recommended it, and it's called what's it bloody called?
What's he know?
Okay, but it's called like not Max Bass or so, but anyway, I'll remember.
Yeah. Max Bass is the Waves one.
Max Bass is the Waves one.
And I think there's an R Bass as well.
Anyway, and so I was like, well, if it's good enough for Chad, I'll try it. I couldn't control the bastard.
Right.
It was too...
Yeah.
Like...
I think...
It was just... you could see your speaker. I put it on like, 20%, and then my speakers, when they just go...
Fucking
hell.
Oh, that sounds something... That sounds like something different, because I think...
Really scary.
I think the subharmonic one, it doesn't actually increase the... It essentially creates a ghost of lower frequencies.
Right.
So, if you distort something and try not to make this too sciencey, because this is this is a production podcast, and B, I can't really remember the science properly. But essentially, when you distort stuff, you start adding harmonics. So say you've got an A440 sine wave, middle A.
That's A below middle
A
C.
A below middle C. Yeah. A3?
I don't know.
Whatever. A below middle C. That's 440 hertz. That's our global standard. Other standards are available, of course. You start to distort it. What happens is the distortion takes the form of harmonics that are multiples of that. So, like, if it's the original's 440, you'll get 880, et cetera. So it sort of doubles. If you remove the original tone or you turn that down, the harmonics that have been created by that distortion, that very light distortion, can actually, they will tell your brain that original frequency is actually still present.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I think I understood that.
Are we following? Yeah. So, it's a psychoacoustic trick.
Bloody psychoacoustics.
Bloody psychoacoustics. Yeah. I might try and look up a video that explains it properly. But the benefit of this in a mix is that you can get the impression of 50 hertz. Without 50 hertz. And the useful thing about that is it's not filling up headroom and like pushing against your master compressor and causing the mix to pump much.
I could say that the BX1
definitely adding low end
is spanking the drum bus for sure. I like that. It's crazy though, if you like recently I've been tracking, I'm not liking two kick drum mics.
Okay. Yeah.
So a lot of people add two kick drum mics, and so they'll have like one in for the click and then one out for a bit. And maybe even a sort of subby bait. I just find if you just get one.
Yeah, sorry, my foot's going to sleep.
Come on, Dan, sort yourself out.
Carry on.
I find if you just got one mic and then you add a bit of sub, either in EQ or in this, it just, the phase is really good. Like it's just way more like, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's the big benefit of not using very many mics, isn't it?
Well, yeah, quite. Yeah.
Well, obviously, it depends what you're doing. I tend to always put two mics on. But I don't always use the second mic.
Exactly. Again, you choose one. If you want something more flappy and tony, you use the out one. And if you want something more, clicky. I mean, it's funny. I did a mix recently, and there were a lot of drum mics.
Yeah.
I muted half of them.
Yeah.
Because what's the point? I'm not going to say what the track was. A lot of the room mics just were doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just a slightly different shade of yellow.
And also every time you add a mic, you add something, I don't want to say disrupt, but you add something to the phase relationship between all the mics. And every one of those mics you add is an opportunity to
suck it up more.
Well, yeah, it's an opportunity to subtract body from particularly the kick and the snare.
Yeah.
And it's you got to pay. You got the more mics you add, the more attention has to be given to that kind of that relationship. And then as soon again, when you start automating levels around the different sections of the song, all sorts of things can start to go strangely. I find the best, personally, the best way to use, if you've got a lot of choices, is to kind of give different miking selections, overheads, or if there's a versed mic or something in a funny place, give them to separate different sections and alternate them. You know what I mean?
So it's like
in the verse, you're using, maybe the drums are either completely in mono or much more mono.
Yeah.
Chorus.
Open up the rooms
or lean a bit more on the overheads, that kind of thing.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
I'd say 50% of the time I do that kind of thing. I redo it, reverse it later.
What do you mean? You bottle it.
Well, no, because sometimes you're like, I just see it sounds a bit gimmicky and it can cause it. Sometimes it's amazing. Sometimes it can cause a distraction because it doesn't.
I think if the song wants to go, and here's the chorus.
Yeah.
You can kind of do that. Like,
absolutely.
What's that Haim song? Forever it takes you and I. Whenever it's up, so you get the bug and I can buy. Do that one.
Oh, wouldn't it be really cool if I started harmonizing there? But A, I can't do that. B, I can't. But I don't think I know what the song is.
Song called Forever, and they really took the mono to stereo thing. So the verse
Forever is
incredibly mono.
Right.
And then the chorus just goes, wah!
Yeah. Mono.
It's really good.
Mono is cool. Mono is, well, it's, like, I mean, I saw a TikTok the other day of someone just saying, if you record everything in stereo, you record nothing in stereo.
Yes. I like that.
and it's true because, like, the center is also a position. You know, and if you sort of got...
The center is a position.
You know, like...
That sounded really profound.
Well,
that's got to be the title of this podcast.
The center is the position.
The center is a position.
The center is a position. Yeah. But like, there's a lot of talk of like, mix is just being, it's just so wide.
Yeah.
But also, you can... I don't know if you still do this, but there was that kind of... what we used to call the Nigel Godrich thing.
What's that?
Which is where you say
record everything really well.
Yeah, just be fucking really good and work with amazing musicians. That's pro tip. If you want to get into this industry, find an amazing band or artist
and just be good
and be really good
and record it really well.
Yeah, stick it through a ridiculous Neotech desk that not only sounds cool but looks cool as well.
Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
What we used to call the Godrich thing, which was like things are either center, left, or
LCR,
right.
LCR. I think you'll find that's LCR.
It's called LCR. Yeah. And whilst I don't stick to that super strictly, I think my general positioning rules are like center, left, right, or 50% between the two.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it. Or spread.
What's chorus?
Well, yeah, just something that's spread, you know, that has a stereo, has a stereo image, you know, or has its sort of, you know, like a stereo piano recording, for example, it doesn't have a mono center to it. It's always got some.
A couple of artists I've been working with recently have been very nervous about LCR.
Right.
So you'll have a guitar hard panned, and they're just like, no.
Yeah, but it's still maybe it feels naff for guitars.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like the sort of classic, electric guitar. Say a song is starting with electric guitar and vocal. Just have it all up. I mean, you can have a little bit of an effect or room or something the other side.
So it's not absolutely pinned. And I noticed, by the way, when I heard that Alan Moulder mix the other day.
LCR, mate.
That guitar was pinned.
So,
yeah.
And I don't think, I have to check, I don't think there's anything in the other side.
No.
I don't think there's guitar in the right. The guitar is in the left and it's only there.
Yeah.
And it sounds great.
Yeah, I think possibly what makes people nervous about it is this idea of if you got your earbuds in and you got one out for some reason.
I can just hear the vocal. Why can I just hear the vocal? Yeah.
I don't think that I don't see people doing that often out in the world.
Sharing.
As we travel.
Sharing iPod
headphones. No one shares earbuds anymore. I don't know if, I remember at school, that was the thing. Like, you had your, I had my, like, corn.
Corn. God, I hate corn. Can we talk about how much I dislike corn?
If you like.
No, sorry, but you go first.
I had my Korn Follow the Leader album on my Discman, and my mate Alex would, shout out to Alex, he would take one earbud and I would take the other earbud.
Yeah, yeah, I remember doing that on school trips and stuff.
And but for that record, it definitely worked. Once you get to...
No Beatles record.
Once I started listening to the Beatles,
why can I only hear John?
What the hell? Yeah, I mean, I've had an artist say that they had quite strong feelings about sort of
what not liking
that tax man thing of it's just so ridiculous when the vocals on one side and the drums are on the other. It's like what were they thinking, kind of thing. It's like, well, yeah, they were thinking we've got a new thing here.
Let's
and
use
we're
it.
One of the very first people in the world to be doing this.
But then there's definitely like more modern records that have, well, Dan, we've hard pan drums.
Yeah, we double tracked them.
Double track. We've also. I'm just trying to think. The last time I had like a hard. Oh yeah, the last flight record I played on.
Yeah.
The song Amy, that's on there, hard mono hard pan drums.
There we go.
Shout out Andrew Sarlo and Don Monks. You don't give a shit. That's
and,
great.
And all the boys at Flight.
And all the boys at Flight who love a bit of LCR.
The show notes are going to be...
Should put that in the show notes.
The show notes last week were a bit meagre. This one's going to be... I've listed about 80 plugins.
Yeah,
and we've just rattled off a bunch of artists. Jeez, I better start writing now.
That's it, mate. Right, anything else to discuss?
What's going on this week?
For me, sorry, Dan, I hate to be here. I'm going to another studio.
In a tree time.
I know. I'm going to Angelic in... I think it's in Northampton.
Uh-huh.
Can I talk about this?
Yeah.
I'm not going to say who the artist is, but I'm playing some drums.
We never do.
We never do.
It's going to another studio. Obviously, it's not going to sound as good as recording here, but, you know.
Yeah, it's obviously going to sound terrible with their shitty mic collection that they've got there.
What a bunch of chances. Yeah.
It's been there for a while, Angelic. I've never been.
Yeah. Residential studio, isn't it?
Residential.
Yeah.
I think it's up near North. I should probably, because I'm leaving tomorrow, so I should probably find out where it is.
Just follow the sat nav.
Turn up at the wrong studio. God, I did turn up at the wrong studio once.
Yeah.
Can I talk to you about
that? I've got a turning up at the wrong studio story. It's not for me, but...
I think it was my fault, but it might not have been my fault.
Blame the tour manager.
I was recording Jordan McCamper's debut record. Shout out, Jordan. And for some reason, I thought it was at the pool.
Yeah.
Lovely studio.
Many, many things are at the pool.
And I rocked up, and I'm never late. I was just like, got my head. And I went in, and they said, I'm here with Jordan. They're like, who? Jordan McCamper? What? Anyway, I called him up, and they were in Willesden, and I was in Bermondsey.
Ah.
For anyone that doesn't know the London geography, that's completely the wrong side of the river.
The other side of the river might as well be on the moon, mate.
Yeah, I was so embarrassed. I was like 2 hours late.
Oh, shit.
Because I had to go. I arrived at, it was just really, really embarrassing.
It was definitely someone else's fault in that case.
Yeah.
There was the one time I recorded at Real World.
Yeah.
Shout out Peter Gabriel.
Well, you're not supposed to...
Our mate Pete.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I should have shouted out Lou Reed earlier as well.
Love to the family.
Should you not have been there? Did you tell?
No. I should have been there. But you know, it's in a village called Box, which I think it's. Well, this isn't necessarily the fault of these people. My battery's about to die, so we'll see how much.
How much we
get done here.
Stop.
It's in the village of Box, and we were in the, I think it's called the wood room, the smaller room, which is still massive.
Hang on,
it's really tall.
I didn't know you'd been to Real. Why didn't I know that you'd been to Real World?
We did a grand piano recording there with Rio.
Ah, keep going.
Okay, with Ria Fu. And she wanted to do a grand piano recording, and somehow ended up, she got a, good rate or something.
Great.
Another residential studio.
Yeah.
But in the main room, which is the one that's got the river that runs underneath it.
Yeah. The main room that looks like a spaceship.
Yeah. There was like a band that had come from, they'd flown in from like some obscure island in the middle of the Pacific or something. And it had taken them, their journey from there to the studio was, it took them 24 hours.
Wow.
It should have taken 23 hours, but
They got stuck behind you.
They did all these hot, like sort of two or three changeovers, flying all virtually the, you know, half the circumference of the globe. And then they went to the wrong village of Box.
Which Box did they go to?
Well, there's two. There's like two because...
Oh, near each other.
Because the UK is insane.
Yeah.
We've got two village of boxes. That are very close to each other. I think one's in Gloucestershire, which I think is the one where Real World is.
That's in near Bath, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
Box.
Yeah. So that makes sense.
Good job it wasn't in the Highlands.
Yeah, exactly. Can you imagine we traveled all this way? Can you imagine we're traveling for 23 hours and we're finally here after all this travel time? We're finally at the studio. Where is it?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, like when you're trying to find Real World, there's quite a lot of, where is it? Because it's in one of those areas where your mobile signal as soon as you're about to like, right, I really need to pay attention to the sat-nav, the mobile reception disappears.
Yes.
And then you're just like, right, I'm at the end of a lane next to a farm. and I don't think, I could try and ask this cow where the studio is, but I don't think it's going to know.
Yeah.
Dan, we've got to stop. Look.
We've got to stop. My laptop, actually,
your laptop is about to die.
And we can do a little bit of recording today, aren't we?
We are, mate.
We have a little tinkle on the old drums.
Little
tap around.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. If you got comments, feedback, abuse. Podcast.
Send us some abuse.
podcast@urchinstudios.co.uk. That's podcast@urchinstudios.co.uk. Buy Matt's sample pack when it's released on Monday.
But not until Monday.
Don't try and find
the link.
Actually, I've got the link.
Yeah. Well, don't share it. Don't put it on the show notes. You haven't downloaded it yet. I need you to test it.
Well, I thought because these other two people had bought it,
I
assumed it was working.
Yeah, they're not as critical as you.
Okay. I'm going to rip it to shreds.
Yeah, please do.
All right.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
Cheerio. Bye-bye.